Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 94 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
In observance and just paying respect to those who lost their lives since 9/11.
Moorhead State University will hold a 9/11 memorial tomorrow morning.
The city of Moorhead is one step closer to building a new police station.
Officials at UK Hospital highlighted Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month.
Kentucky's gubernatorial candidates are sparring over public education.
The Better Business Bureau is warning about a new hurricane relief scam.
In sports, Round's volleyball team will face off with the Lady Panthers tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear skies tonight with a low of 70. We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Moorhead State University's Reserve Officers Training Corps, Eagle Battalion, and Eagle Vets will conduct the Patriot Day observance tomorrow. MSU's Director of Military Initiatives, Dr. Silas Sessions, says there will be a tangible way for attendees to show their honor and appreciation for those whose lives were lost or impacted by the events of 9/11.
What we're going to do is plant little small flags on the lawn around the bell tower. It's all in observance and just paying respect to those who lost their lives since 9/11, and in honor of all first responders, all armed forces, all family members of that entire set.
The event begins at 8 a.m. in front of Button Auditorium. The public is invited to attend.
Moorhead City Government is continuing its efforts in constructing its police and E911 center on Main Street. The city is still waiting to purchase the former Mullins grocery property pending appraisal and financing. However, during last night's city council meeting, representatives with the architectural firm CMW gave a presentation with preliminary designs for the facility. The council also discussed the hiring of a construction manager to oversee the project once it does begin. Here's council members Glenn Teeger, Beth Ousley, and David Perkins discussing the matter.
We do tend to encourage a lot more local bidding when you do construction management, just because you're breaking down the packets to, that they're small enough that local people can bid. And we've had success that way. That's just my take from the school board.
I agree.
I would agree with that, but I would go toward the side that has the construction management as they're the responsible party.
Council agreed to move forward on that topic as well. Mayor Laura White Brown says the next step for the time being is having a committee to meet with CMW for further adjustments in the design phase.
Physicians and lawmakers joined forces at the University of Kentucky Hospital today to highlight the importance of screening for ovarian cancer. September is Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, and UK Healthcare has been at the forefront of fighting the disease for more than three decades. Gynecological oncologist Dr. Jack Van Nagel Jr. helped initiate the University of Kentucky Markey Cancer Center's ovarian screening program in 1987.
If the disease is detected early, when it's still confined to the ovary or the pelvis, then we can cure these patients in about 90% of the time with just conventional treatment that we have now available. So to me, early detection is paramount.
This year, more than 14,000 women will die from ovarian cancer in the United States, making it the fifth leading cause of cancer mortality for females. Dr. Van Nagel said symptoms don't usually develop unless the disease has progressed to stage 4 cancer, so screenings are key to saving lives.
Georgetown passed a fairness ordinance prohibiting LGBTQ discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations Monday night. WKYT reports the Georgetown City Council passed the ordinance with a vote of 5-3. It is the 13th city in the Commonwealth to pass the ordinance, now covering about a quarter of the state's population. Louisville and Lexington both passed fairness ordinances in 1999. 2020 will mark the 20th anniversary of the introduction of a statewide fairness law, which has only ever received two informational hearings in the Kentucky General Assembly.
Fort Boonesboro State Park is hosting its annual 1778 Siege of Boonesboro weekend later this month. Events at the Madison County Park will include a battle reenactment on the afternoons of September 28th and 29th, and a night battle at dusk on the 28th. That's a Saturday. The event commemorates the 1778 attack on the fort by Native Americans and French Canadians during the Revolutionary War. The settlers in the fort refused to surrender, and the attackers gave up and left. There will be militia and settler camps, a Native American village, merchants, traders, pioneer skills demonstrations, and food. The event is free with regular fort admission for $8 for adults and $5 for children.
Kentucky gubernatorial candidates Matt Bevin and Andy Beshear are sparring over public education and pensions this week, with each accusing the other of endorsing policies that could be disastrous for Kentucky teachers. WUKY's Josh James has more.
A new TV spot by Democratic nominee Andy Beshear literally shows the lights going out in a public school.
Imagine having just one school in your community, and the lights are turned off forever.
The campaign argues the scenario could happen if the administration successfully shifts millions in health insurance and transportation costs to local school districts. But Bevin is fighting back, releasing a nearly 3.5-minute video entitled The Truth, which highlights his family's ties to public education and makes the case that the governor is working to save the pension system.
Matt Bevin is the first governor ever to fully fund the Kentucky pension system.
Critics hear some exaggerations, however, arguing Bevin is the first governor in nearly two decades to fully fund state pensions, and that the per-pupil funding rates cited by the governor ignore inflation and cuts to other funding streams. Bevin held a press conference Monday labeling Beshear's claims, quote, scare tactics, while the Beshear camp repeated its description of Bevin's statements as, quote, false and unhinged. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
A federal appeals court has vacated the 30-day prison sentence given to the man who tackled U.S. Senator Rand Paul outside his Kentucky home in 2017. The three-judge panel of the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Monday ordered a resentencing for Rene Boucher. Federal prosecutors appealed the sentence, saying 21 months would have been more appropriate. The appeals court took no position on an appropriate sentence, saying the district court judge retains ample discretion. The senator was tackled by Boucher, who lived next door to Paul at the time, when Boucher became angry over lawn maintenance at Paul's home. The attack broke several of Paul's ribs. He recently underwent lung surgery in a procedure he said stemmed from the attack. Boucher pleaded guilty to assaulting a member of Congress. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Round County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market, 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Round County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods. Accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program, supporting local farmers, the Round County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud. A Kentucky lawmaker has resigned. Here's Paul Miles.
Republican Representative Tim Moore of Elizabethtown submitted his resignation to Governor Bevin. Moore says he's long believed in term limits as a worthy ideal of government service. And having served over 12 years in the Kentucky legislature, Moore says it's time to apply that principle to himself. Moore is a UPS pilot and Air Force Reserve officer. A special election to fill Moore's seat will be held November 5th. Republicans maintain a strong majority in the Kentucky House. I'm Paul Miles.
In the wake of Hurricane Dorian, the Better Business Bureau encourages donors to support experienced disaster relief organizations. Heather Clary is the communications director for the BBB of Central and Eastern Kentucky. She says the Wise Giving Alliance is a resource that the public can use to evaluate charities.
Now, the Better Business Bureau Wise Giving Alliance is the arm of the BBB that evaluates charitable organizations, nonprofits, and that's an excellent tool for the public to use to check out a charity that may be asking for their donation, to see what kind of information is available, how they use the money they raise, does most of it go to the actual programs to assist victims.
Consumers are encouraged to report suspicious behavior to the Attorney General's office if they suspect a person or organization is trying to use a disaster to fraudulently raise money. They can also report scams to the BBB's scam tracker at bbb.org/scam tracker.
Health officials in Lincoln County are trying to better understand the health impact of the pipeline explosion that occurred. WMKY's Ty Martin has the story.
Local and state health officials and individuals from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention are in Lincoln County today to assess possible public health impacts of the natural gas pipeline explosion on August 1st. Crews on site will be there to conduct interviews with first responders who were on the scene of the explosion and people who live near the site. They hope to collect information to better understand the health impacts resulting from the incident. According to LEX 18, the CDC team arrived Thursday and meetings began Friday with local response agencies and other partners. Interviews with first responders will continue over the next several days. Interviews of residents begin on Monday. For WMKY News, I'm Tom Martin.
Lexington police have revealed new details during court testimony about a woman charged with murder following a deadly July 5th crash. A member of the Lexington Police Crash Reconstruction Team testified in Fayette District Court today in the case of Sequoia Collins. She's accused of driving under the influence and traveling nearly double the speed limit before a collision that killed 10-year-old Alexia Hernandez. Collins is accused of not only having a 0.211 blood alcohol content, but also of being under the influence of cocaine. They were able to determine that she had used cocaine after receiving blood test results. Police conducted that test about 4 hours after the crash. According to WKYT, Collins' attorney asked for a manslaughter charge, but prosecutors insisted on the murder charge. The judge kept the charge, and the grand jury will decide if Collins will be charged with the felony murder charge.
The trial of a Lexington man accused of murder began Monday. Chase Helvey is facing several charges relating to a crash investigation from 2018 on Maxwellton Court, resulting in the death of 36-year-old James Potter. LEX 18 reported the coroner concluded Potter was shot before the crash. According to Helvey's arrest citation, prior to the crash, Helvey attacked Potter's female passenger with a wooden object and a blowtorch. Helvey is facing charges of murder, assault, kidnapping, and tampering with evidence connected to a crash. Now taking a look at your region's weather. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 69. Wednesday, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 90. Wednesday night, 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms before 9 p.m., partly cloudy with a low around 68. Thursday, mostly sunny and hot with a high near 90. Thursday night, mostly clear with a low around 69. Friday, sunny and hot with a high near 91. Now taking a look at current temperatures in the WMKY listening area. It's 94 degrees in Flemingsburg, 95 degrees in Maysville, 93 degrees in Ashland, 97 degrees in Mount Sterling and Inez, and 98 degrees in Lexington, and 94 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, last month the Rowan County community came together to make sure students began the school year with everything they needed. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the story.
Members of the Rowan County community gather every year to help kids kickstart their back-to-school preparations. The event is called Ready Fest, and it was held in the Rowan County High School Gymnasium. Family Resource Coordinator Pat Richmond has been helping with the event for 20 years. She says the event is important for the community because not everyone is financially stable.
Well, we all know we have a community that, you know, struggles economically, and we have a lot of grandparents that are raising grandchildren, and they are stretched financially. So any little thing that we can do to help out, because the back-to-school costs are, you know, outrageous if you have more than one child. So we try to give them at least the basics to get them started.
And ReadyFest wasn't light on supplies. Richmond says there were a variety of items at the event to help get kids started.
We have backpacks and school supplies for K through 12. And then we have lots of local agencies giving out their goodies. They've done some have school supplies. We have one group that's going to give away a bicycle to two lucky kids today. The library gives away books, so we have just all kinds of information and giveaways.
A large portion of kids in the community utilize ReadyFest every year, and numbers weren't expected to be any lower this year. Richmond says the event's history indicates how many students they should prepare for.
It has ranged anywhere from 400 to 800, just depending on the year and depending on weather and things like that. We reach out to a lot of students.
But school supplies aren't the only things the booths offered. 4-H development agent for Roundwood County Extension Services, Raven Ford, says there is also a big focus on student health and nutrition.
We have some healthy recipes inside there. We also have something that's called a Chop Chop magazine that will have a variety of different recipes and things like that that's kid-friendly that kids can prepare themselves.
Marilyn Friedhoff is with the Roundwood County Public Library. Her organization's main focus was letting students know about all the events they host.
We give out information about all the upcoming programs that we have, a lot of the services that we offer at the library, like free downloadable books and ebooks, audiobooks. And then we also, through the Friends of the Library, were able to give away a free book to the kids today, which is wonderful. All the parents really appreciate that.
Friedhoff hopes to show students the importance of reading.
Getting a book is a great thing. Sometimes you get a book at school, but getting a free book, something that you can pick out that you like, is a wonderful thing.
Roundwood County Safe Place Coordinator for Mountain Haven Emergency Shelter, Sarah Lowe, says a lot of people don't realize how difficult collecting back-to-school items can be for some families.
And that's, sort of a commonplace every year is, why do we need to buy so much for back-to-school, and is it going to go to someone else? Well, the thing of it is no, because there's programs like this here. This is a way of the community giving back, so taking that pressure off parents that are worried that their kids won't have what they need.
For WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
It's 447 and 94 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Cody Robinson. And we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio right here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon. Shaw Marie Mosley has a look at sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Radio Eye, Kentucky's statewide daily reading service for the blind and visually impaired. Radio Eye's reading service offers newspapers, magazines, health materials, and grocery ads for independent living to people who are blind, visually impaired, or any disability that makes reading difficult or impossible. Radios are available to qualified applicants. More information is available by calling 859-422-6390 or online at radioeye.org.
Round County Volleyball hosts the Thorny County Lady Panthers tonight. For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley. Round County Volleyball hosts Fleming County tonight. As the heart of the regional schedule begins for his team, head coach Steve Walters says their strong performance in early season tournaments helps give them confidence going into regional play.
To go in and do well, winning the one tournament and then performing pretty well in the other, we use that as kind of a measuring stick to the rest of the 16.
The Vikings come into the game at 11-2 and tied with West Carter for the second spot in the 16th region rankings. Fleming County is 3-10 on their season. First serve in Morehead is tonight at 7 p.m. Taking a look at other volleyball matches tonight in the 16th region. East Carter and West Carter meet in Olive Hill tonight at 7 p.m. The Comets are in second place in the region right now with an 11-2 record, while the Raiders have just 3 games in the books and 2 wins. Also tonight, Bath County hosts Elliott County at 6, Greenup travels to Boyd County, Raceland hosts Fairview, and Ashland Blazer travels to Russell. Those last 3 matchups will begin at 7 p.m. The Round County boys soccer team welcomes Montgomery County tonight. The Vikings are looking for their 6th win in a row, while the Indians stand at 5-2 and 3 on the season. Viking head coach Max Hammond says Montgomery might be the most talented team the Vikings face this season.
They're definitely one of the best teams in our area, and, you know, they've played the teams to prove it this year. They've played tough competition and playing, you know, Henry Clay and Lafayette, Lexi Padwick, and have competed well in most of those games. So, you know, I expect them, you know, come in and play some good soccer.
Game time tonight at the Marvin Moore Sports Complex is set for 7 p.m. Taking a look at other boys soccer action in the 16th region tonight, Boyd County travels to Ashland Blazer for a 6 p.m. game. Also at 6, Fleming faces off with Menifee. East Carter hosts Spring Valley out of Huntington, West Virginia at 7, and Morgan County hosts Greenup at 7:30 p.m. In the 16th region girls soccer action tonight, Morgan County hosts Greenup at 6 p.m., Russell travels to Prestonburg for a 7 p.m. matchup, and Ashland Blazer hosts Boyd at 8 p.m. We'll have scores from all of tonight's matchups tomorrow on Morning Edition. The Round County girls soccer team is preparing to face off with Montgomery County Wednesday night. The Vikings are 8-1 and 1 on the season, coming off of a 1-0 win over Harrison County last night. Head coach Alan Evans says while his big goal makers get a lot of glory, his defense is also strong.
It's what you do without the ball, how you move and keep your shape. And so our defenders, Caitlin Hilton, a senior, Leah Barker, a senior, sophomore, Haley Barnett, and Casey Moore, a sophomore, have been doing an outstanding job keeping people out of the net. And then we have our senior Megan Gonzalez in the goal. And so they've been doing a tremendous job of not allowing a lot of goals. And
the Vikings travel to Montgomery County Wednesday for a 7:30 matchup. After earning the title of Most Valuable Player, a member of the Morehead State University's volleyball team has received yet another mark of distinction. Junior Olivia Lohmeyer was awarded the Ohio Valley Conference Offensive Player of the Week by unanimous selection. This marks the fifth time the Ohio native has received the title, and her eighth OVC award overall. Head coach Jamie Gordon says Lohmeyer is part of a core of great returning players this season.
Olivia Lohmeyer, Lauren Roque, and Chandler Clark, who are all rising juniors for us, but we also have some great senior leadership. Danielle McCarson, who's a fifth-year senior for us, it just does so much for this team. And then, you know, Carly Reynolds, our other senior, is a workhorse and really establishes a high level of expectation in the gym every day.
On the season, Lohmeyer leads Morehead State with 98 kills across 22 sets, hitting point .224 for the year. The Eagles return to the court Thursday in Lawrence, Kansas for the Kansas Volleyball Invitational. As the Wildcats gear up for their sold-out showdown against Florida this weekend, UK athletic officials want to remind fans to be wary of scams. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has more.
Fans should use caution against counterfeit and invalid tickets. Only tickets purchased directly through the UK Ticket Office, Ticketmaster, Reply By, FIVO, or the Florida Team Ticket Office are guaranteed to be valid. To combat ticket fraud and counterfeiting, PDF and printed home tickets have been discontinued at all UK athletic venues beginning with the 2019-20 season. PDF and printed home tickets will not be accepted at any UK athletics venue and will not be sold by any UK athletics authorized seller. Ticket holders should also be aware of the potential risks of posting pictures of their tickets, specifically the barcode, on the internet in any way. UK Athletics strongly encourages fans using mobile tickets to familiarize themselves with how to access their tickets prior to arrival at Kroger Field. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
For WMKY Sports, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Soccer welcomes Wright State on September 13th at 6 p.m., and football hosts Kentucky Christian on September 14th at 4 p.m. Tickets and more information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-2089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. At 3:30, the Dow was down modestly as stocks are continuing to be weighed by weakness in tech shares. And among your blue chip stocks, Ford was pressuring stocks downward somewhat as their stock dropped in lieu of a downgrade to their credit rating by Moody's. And at 3:30, as mentioned, the Dow down 35.71 at 26,799.80. The S&P 500 was down 11.59 at 2966.70. And the NASDAQ Composite was the weakest of the three major indices, down 41.42 at 8046.02. Facebook was down just over 1%, and Amazon was down 0.6%, respectively, among tech stocks. And the S&P 500 tech sector as a whole was down, with the Technology Select Sector Spider ETF down 1%. Netflix shares dropped almost 3% after Apple unveiled a TV service for $4.99 per month. Ford Motor was down almost 3% after Moody's downgraded the automaker's credit rating to junk status, citing below expectations on profit margins and cash flow. Today, the market, once again, is following a pattern that it's just picked up here the last few sessions, where value stocks such as banks and oil and material stocks are outperforming their growth counterparts such as software companies. In economic news, all eyes are looking to the European Central Bank policy meeting this Thursday, where the central bank is expected to lower rates as well as unveil a new round of quantitative easing. The ECB will meet ahead of the Federal Reserve, which is forecast to lower rates by 25 basis points, and this, of course, should happen next week when the Federal Reserve meets. In the commodities markets, oil, which has been strong as of late, backtracked today down 0.625% at $57.49 a barrel. Gold was down 1% at $1,496.50 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were quiet, with the Stock 600 index just managing a 0.1% gain. In Asia, markets were mixed, with the Nikkei up 0.375% and the Shanghai Composite down 0.125%. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Fifth Third Bank up 31 cents at $27.84, Lowe's up 7 cents at $114.86, UPS up 22 cents at $121.89, Marathon Petroleum up 76 cents at $54.35, and PPL was up 52 cents at $29.88. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the City of Moorhead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest, home to Moorhead State University, Moorhead Conference Center, and St. Clair Healthcare. The City of Moorhead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. The City of Moorhead can be reached at 606-784-8505. Facebook and online at moorhead-ky.gov.
Taking a look at some events coming up in the region, the Kentucky Center for Traditional Music invites you to a community square dance at the Round County Arts Center, 7 p.m. on Wednesday, September the 11th. Admission is $3 and free to students, family-friendly, and beginners are welcome.
Round County Christmas will host a spaghetti dinner from 5 to 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, September 12th at the Carl Perkins Community Center in Moorhead. Cost is $6 and includes spaghetti, drink, and dessert. All proceeds will benefit Round County Christmas to provide new toys and food vouchers to children and families.
The 25th annual St. Clair Healthcare Benefit Golf Outing will be held at Eagle Trace Golf Course on Thursday, September 12th. Flights begin at 8 a.m. and 1:30 p.m., breakfast and lunch buffet, door prizes, team and individual awards. All proceeds benefit St. Clair Charity Fund. More information at 783-6512.
Coffee Tree Books in Moorhead will host Louisville-based singer, songwriter, and author Will Oldham at 6 p.m. on Thursday, September 12th. Oldham will perform and read selections from his latest book, Songs of Love and Horror. The performance is free and open to the public.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Ty Martin, Sarah Mead, Lori Likens, Shawmarie Mosley, Wyatt Melton, and Cody Robinson. WUKY's Josh James and Karen Czar, KNN's Will Clark, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Cody Robinson. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.